Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Gerard Gibbert, and thank you for listening to Middays here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Is with Gerard Gibbert is powered by CSpire. Power your home or business with CSpire fiber. To learn more, visit supertalk.fm/CSpire. CSpire fiber powers Super Talk Mississippi.
Get ready to go beyond the headlines and join a meaningful conversation with people from around the state. You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Monday morning to you, and welcome to Middays on a very big day. It's Inauguration Day, and we are, an hour away, a little less than an hour away now. And, of course, we'll have it for you live here on Super Talk, as we always do. And in the next segment, in just a moment, hopefully we'll be able to catch up with the guy normally in this chair, Gerard Gibbert, who is in Washington for the inauguration. There have been some changes. The weather is still cold there, just as it is here, hence the changes. So we'll get some details from him on what's happening and the official scene on the ground in Washington, D.C. this morning. Hectic is the word that I've been hearing bandied about. Also, of course, over in the booth, as always, our old buddy, the one and only Rhino, how you doing this morning, man?
Howdy.
How's life going for you?
Oh, it was a little chillier than expected this morning, but besides that, not too bad.
You want to swap houses for the week? We down here in Pike County, we are in the winter storm warning area. We are, depending on the model you look at, I was talking to Rhino before the show, we are expected to get anywhere from 3 to 9 inches of snow on the ground. 9 inches would almost double our previous single day record in Pike County. So I'm excited. My knees have already filled out the paperwork to file a formal request for grievance, and I'm sure that'll be processed in due haste. Before we get into all of the inauguration festivities and weather and everything else, I do want to take a moment to talk very briefly about Paul. I joined Super Talk 10 years ago. It doesn't feel like 10 years ago, but 10 years ago. And it didn't take long before I met Paul. I heard him on the air forever and really appreciated what he did as a broadcast professional. He was just so good at this job. This is a weird job. Not going to lie. Not just anybody can walk in and do it. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things you have to take into consideration. And Paul just did it so effortlessly. It was like he wasn't even trying. He was. Oh, the amount of effort he put into it was unreal. But when he did it, it looked like he wasn't even trying. And that is the sign of a true top-level, top-tier professional. It was just so impressive to listen to him work, to watch him work, when, as the years went on, as I got to know him, and he and I would meet up in the halls a lot of days because I was doing middays, and he was just getting done with his show, and we'd stop in the hall and talk for a few seconds. And he used to joke when I would fill in on the morning show. He said, "Look, man, I really appreciate you more than you know. Not everybody wants to get up this early. It's hard to find somebody and keep them around." He was just an incredible guy. On and off the air, and he will most definitely be missed by me and by everybody. So keep his family in your thoughts and prayers, please, as we move forward through a difficult time. I don't think there's any other way to say it, Rhino. It's a difficult time for everybody right now.
Yeah, it's always tough to lose a coworker. It's even tougher to lose one that you can call a friend.
Yes, exactly right. Well said. And I heard Richard and JT talking about it this morning, just an hour or two ago. The one thing that I really hate is that this happened before Inauguration Day. The corners of his mouth would have been touching his earlobes all day today because President Donald Trump is getting re-inaugurated for another four-year term. We're going to have, as I said, coverage of that. We're going to cover it live and give you a little background on some of the things going on. Before we get to that, though, very quickly, just got to mention the wonderful action, well, put it like that, taken early this morning by outgoing president, he may not know it yet, but he is outgoing, Joe Biden, where he preemptively pardoned a bunch of people. It is going to be interesting to watch this play out because at this point, I think somehow, some way that's going to be tested. It never really has been tested, preemptive pardons. Not through the courts, not to the Supreme Court.
Well, considering historically there's been, what, five instances of it being used, and most of the time it was like one person.
Yeah.
And nobody really felt like waging the legal battle to refute one.
Yeah, but this one is a blanket pardon for everyone involved in the January 6th committee, which means we can now officially refer to him as recently pardoned Representative Benny Thompson. That's now officially a totally accurate description of the representative from the Delta, Benny Thompson, because he was the head of the J6 committee. So it definitely includes him. It includes the people that testified. He mentioned it by name. Dr. Anthony Fauci, General Mark Milley. This is a weird situation. It's going to be very interesting to see it play out. 1915, the Supreme Court ruled on pardons and gave probably the best clarification of presidential pardons that we have had, and it doesn't clarify much other than a pardon has to be accepted. That decision, Burdick versus the United States in 1915, also made it clear that if you accept a pardon, it is an admission of guilt, no matter what anybody says. That was a decision by the Supreme Court. Fauci accepted his pardon gratefully this morning, by the way. Just thought I'd point that out with a little Supreme Court precedence on what that means. And again, this has been talked about quite a bit. It does not preclude them from being called to testify. In fact, they no longer have their Fifth Amendment rights. They can't invoke those because they cannot incriminate themselves for something they're already pardoned for. The Supreme Court ruled that as well in the Burdick decision, that if they're called to testify, they have to testify. If they don't, they've committed a new crime and get to go to jail for that. So it sets up some interesting things moving forward in the future. We'll see how that goes. I'm sorry, it's just fascinating. Also, with the changes in the setup for the inauguration, saw a picture just a few minutes ago, Rhino, over at Capitol One. They've got the stage, the one we saw last night at the victory rally. They have set up a desk with the presidential seal and a chair. He is going to sign executive orders in front of the crowd after he gets done. Actually, he's going to be sworn in and then go to the president's room in the Senate building and sign a bunch of executive orders right there. Then he's going to go to Capitol One and apparently sit on the stage and sign executive orders in front of everybody. He's leaving no doubt what he's doing. Forget day one, hour one. Hours one through four. This man, do we have a brace for his forearm on his writing hand? We need to protect it, and he's going to wear it out if he's not careful. So I think this is going to be one heck of an interesting day. The news will take 72 hours to play tomorrow morning, I have no doubt. You look as excited as I am about that, Rhino.
Well, it's just going to be a lot to digest, and I know I can't count on the media to actually get the good ones.
No. No. As a matter of fact, the ones that we would consider the good ones are the ones that will get the least attention. At most, they'll be buried down in just a list, if they even mention them, because they're talking about him signing over 200 executive orders today. You're not going to get coverage of all of those. The mainstream media are going to cover the ones that they can gripe about. And that's it. Everything else is just going to kind of fly under the radar, unless you're listening to Super Talk. That's our favorite kind of thing in the world, to drag out the stuff that the mainstream media doesn't want you to know about. It's one of our favorite topics. When we come back from the frozen tundra, my apologies to Green Bay, the frozen tundra of Washington, D.C., we'll be talking to Gerard Gibbert up next on Middays. Keep it here.
Pickup truck.
This segment of Middays with Gerard Gibbert is brought to you by Covington County Hospital in Collins, where your health matters.
Now back to Middays with Gerard here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to the Element Wealth Studios, Middays on Super Talk Mississippi. And we are joined now, I think today he has swapped hats. He would be considered our roving man on the scene. Oh, he's not on yet. Okay. We're still working to acquire him. As you can imagine, systems are absolutely slammed in Washington, D.C. I don't know if you've seen any of the video, any of the footage of the scene in Washington today. So many people there. So we're working to get connected with Gerard and hopefully talk to him here in just a minute from Washington. But again, with the amount of traffic in terms of the people using all the systems, all the networks up there, we're going to do the best we can. I'll put it like that, because this has it's a madhouse. I saw one video that somebody took of the line yesterday morning waiting to get into Capital One Arena for last night's rally. And yes, they were in line like 8 o'clock yesterday morning, standing in the bitter cold. This line went for blocks. 2, 3, 4 wide, and this line went on and on, and they just took the camera and they went down it, and it's a long video because there were thousands of people already waiting in line to get in. What's going to be interesting is to see who can manage to get into the arena for this afternoon. Yeah, that not only are there a lot of people in line, there are already some people already in there. That picture that I was referring to in the first segment that they took of the desk, the executive order signing desk, you would presume, with the presidential seal on the front and the chair that they have set up on the stage, you could see some of the stands in the back, and already people were sitting there. They're continuing to go in. They better get in pretty quick because we don't have a ton of time left before things happen. What, about 35 minutes until President Trump officially takes the oath of office? And the schedule for today, in case you're not aware of how this works, everybody is in the Capitol Rotunda. They've already assembled. They're already there waiting. President-elect Trump hopefully the last time I have to say that. I will be thrilled to just start saying President Trump again. But the way this is going to work is the vice president takes the oath first. The vice president, I believe it's about 11:36, 11:40, somewhere in that neighborhood, which that's Eastern time, so about 10:40 here. Vice President J.D. Vance will take the oath of office, and then right at noon, you will get the president, the incoming president. I'm just going to stop saying president-elect. I can't wait. Will take his own oath of office. Then after that, I mentioned this just a second ago. The plan right now, apparently, is right after he takes the oath of office and the whole thing is done, the president will adjourn to the president's room in the Senate building and start signing executive orders right then. He's going to sign several then. Then he's going to go over to Capitol One Arena. Apparently, with the desk they have set up on the stage, I would assume he's going to be signing executive orders there as well. So it's going to be interesting to watch a unique event play out. And I think we have hooked in now with our roving man in the field, currently freezing to death in Washington, D.C., Gerard Gibbard. Gerard, how you doing, sir?
Hey, Dave, we've been trying to get connected. And I don't know if just the cell service is jammed for security purposes, if it's congestion of the cell traffic, but Rhino and I have been trying to get connected now for about 10 minutes, unsuccessfully, finally just got through. So I am, as you said, roving in the field. I'm on the sidewalk, literally across the street from Nationals Park. We are at a venue, a Mississippi watch party, at a really cool place called the Royal Sands, and there's two or three senators that have watch parties going on. This one is Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith for the Mississippi Visitor, and was just up there, and I'm outside so I could get some cell service. The sun is shining. It is cold. It is frigid. The wind is blowing, and the streets are covered somewhat with snow, but not that you can't travel and move about. But it would have been cold for 5 or 6 hours out there on the Capitol lawn, no doubt about that.
Did you keep the receipt for your electric vest?
I did. Okay. I'm going to just keep it, thinking I might be able to use it at some point in the future. It wasn't terribly expensive, but I was all ready to go, man, with the electric heated vest.
Now, of course, everything completely changed Friday afternoon with what you were expecting to be dealing with when you got up there.
Totally. Totally. And honestly, the big event for us is going to be the Liberty Ball tonight. I was able to secure tickets for that. Looking forward to that. But the tickets I had on the lawn, Congressman Michael Guest was kind enough to get those for us. Those are now considered commemorative, so they're keepsakes, they're souvenirs, if you will. But, you know, what can you do? That's the best we can hope for. The ball I look forward to, that should be fantastic tonight.
How did they decide, and you may not know this, but how did they decide who got to attend the rally at Capital One Arena this afternoon after the swearing-in?
That's a good question. I'm honestly not sure. As you know, the arena can fit about 20,000 in it, and they were expecting over 200,000 to attend the inauguration there on the spot on the Capitol lawn and throughout. That's all I know at this point.
And there's that cell phone network in Washington, D.C. You're breaking in and out on us, Gerard, because I think you have a couple of 100,000 people trying to use a cell phone service designed for about half that.
I think that's exactly what's happening. Yep.
And you're clear again now, so very quickly while I've got you, what can you tell us about the amount of people that seem to be in Washington, even with the change in plans? Is there still a lot of people floating around?
Yeah, there are. The place is packed. It's crowded. I'm told by our friends Joel and Natasha, I was able to connect with them And we sat down and had coffee and just a great discussion for about 3 hours last night. And they told me that they've never seen the security as heightened as it is. Road closures beginning yesterday around the Capitol area for the events, of course, the activities. They said they'd never seen that before. And we actually saw Humvees out and about, which is something they observed they do not recall seeing in prior inaugurations. So the security's off the charts. That's understandable. Yeah, as far as I can tell, the crowds are still here. Everybody that intended to come looks to me like to be in this city and around it. The roads are absolutely jammed with traffic. We've been taking the Metro Rail from our hotel in College Park where we're staying. It's pretty easy to get to a station that is nearby the University of Maryland there, about a mile and a half away, and then take you straight into the Capitol complex. And today, of course, near Nationals Park. But there's a lot of people here. There's no doubt. They're just not here to witness the swearing in and the speech live on the Capitol lawn and in the mall there. And I think what we're doing at this watch party is pretty common. That's going on all across the city.
Well, and this may sound like a stupid question, but I want to get the viewpoint of somebody who is there, because I already know the answer to this question. What's the mood like in Washington today?
Yeah, it's a great question. And Richard and I talked about this earlier, of course, on the Gallo Show. And it's optimistic. It's upbeat. It's positive. A lot of hope. A lot of look towards the future. And, you know, it's interesting to get that. This is my first one, so it was interesting talking to Joel and Natasha about that. One of the things that they mentioned to me last night is we were moving about the streets, moving from our points of meeting, that they've never seen so many Republicans in town. I thought that was interesting. That, and you can identify them because they've got, of course, the Trump regalia and the attire on, and that immediately identifies them. They were just talking about 4 years ago, the Biden inauguration. You couldn't hardly find a Republican in the town. So just that, you know, I think is turned things upside down, in my view, in a positive sense. And so everybody just feels good, no doubt about it. I think everybody is looking forward to, I know you were talking about it earlier, the executive orders and the actions the president, once sworn in, is going to
sign. I hate to break in. We're up on the break, man.
Okay, man.
You go
good
have fun. Enjoy a historic day in Washington. We will continue in the Element Well Studios on Middays right after this.
You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert, here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back. The Element Well Studio. Oh, there is an obviously pleased Hakeem Jeffries walking into the Capitol Rotunda. The crowd is there, mostly filled with members of Congress. And as you can see on Supertalk TV, if you're not watching, you need to, because we have the full coverage up there. And we'll be going to the audio as things happen pretty quick here. We will be seeing the swearing in of the Vice President, J.D. Vance, President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris now entering the room, as you can see on the stream there, and stepping over to their seats just to the side of the podium. They're doing a good job of looking happy. I'll give them credit. I'll give them that credit, and we'll move on. And they are, of course, getting a rousing round of applause as we get this going. This is one aspect that people, I think, miss sometimes because this is a different venue. We haven't seen this since 1985 when President Ronald Reagan, again, because of really cold weather, moved his inauguration, his second swearing-in, to the Capitol Rotunda. Holds about 600 people, the Capitol Rotunda does, so a very limited crowd. We saw just before we came on President Trump making his way out through the outside areas to get in place to be ready to come out from that little curtain that you see in the middle there on the broadcast so that he can be sworn in. One interesting fact, I did not realize this, it's almost totally meaningless, but, and there he is. There is Senator J.D. Vance, who is about to take the oath of office for the vice presidency of the United States in just a moment. Then I believe here in just a second, next time the curtain opens, I would assume we will see President Trump come in. But the one interesting fact that I found out, I wasn't aware of this, this is the 60th presidential inauguration. This is number 60 in the history of the country, which is interesting, I guess. I don't know. It hit me as somehow appropriate that it's a nice, round, even number. In terms of the number of inaugurations. Vance looking intent, focused, I think would be the word that I would use there, as well he should, I think. This process, when President Trump was sworn in the first time, lasted about an hour. Now, that was, of course, outside the entire ceremony. That was at the National Mall, and you had all of the various things that you went through. We'll be seeing some musical performance from some people and other things. We have, some of your congressional leaders, Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, House Speaker Mike Johnson coming out. So we have the what would you call it, Rhino? The upper level dignitaries of the Congress?
Yeah, congressional leadership.
Yeah. They are now coming out. So we're getting close. We're getting very close to the last 4 years being over. And I normally would say something like, I don't think anyone will be upset about that, but we all know that's wrong. There's a chunk of people out there, a lot of people, millions of people, who are devastated by this. But that doesn't change the results of the election. Not one bit. So we get to enjoy a unique, and this to me is appropriate. This is going to be a very neat, unique inauguration day. Very unique. There he is, President Donald Trump. You heard Gerard talking about the security that has been in place in Washington. There has been, I love Melania's look, by the way. The First Lady. It's going to be a very unique inaugural day because of being inside, but also the way the events are going to play out and the things that are going to happen within the next 3 hours. We've never seen anything like it in the history of the United States. This is a new one. This is a first. We're going to set a lot of firsts today. We're going to see a lot of things happen, both in terms of the speed in which they happen and the types of things that are going to happen that we've never seen before. So definitely a unique day. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Rhino. Does President Trump look extremely confident and satisfied there?
Yeah, it's almost the the opposite of his inauguration photo, where he looked very stern and serious. Now he looks kind of relaxed and content.
If you haven't done it yet, go back and look at that inauguration photo again, because he is lit from the bottom. And they went in and obviously photoshopped the American flag pin that he's wearing again today to make it stand out and be bright. It's really a work of art if you start breaking it down and looking at it, the way they put that picture together. They did a great job with it. President Trump, Vice President Vance, having a few words there a moment before the work begins. This, you got to realize something. You have to remember something. You look at those two men right there who are going to be leading this country for the next 4 years. This is one of the most peaceful moments they'll have in a while, for years. Let's cut to the audio here and see what she's telling us here, Rhino.
President-elect Trump and Vice President-elect Vance will take their oaths of office, and we will witness the peaceful transfer of power at the heart of our democracy. For the past year, I've chaired the inaugural ceremony committee, which includes the leadership of Congress from both parties. We thank the committee and Capitol staff and law enforcement who worked so hard over the last year, and especially the last 3 days. You've done a beautiful job, and you have shown grace under pressure.
That's an understatement.
Our theme this year is our enduring democracy. The presence of so many presidents and vice presidents here today is truly a testament to that endurance. We welcome President Biden and Dr. Biden. We welcome Vice President Harris and Doug Emhoff, President Obama, President Clinton and Secretary Clinton, President Bush and Laura Bush, Vice President Pence, Vice President Quayle and Marilyn Quayle. The justices of the United States Supreme Court are with us, all nine of them, I counted, and of course, the Trump and Vance families. This ceremony marks what will soon be 250 years of our democracy. It is the moment when leaders elevated by the will of the people promise to be faithful to our Constitution, to cherish and defend it. It is the moment when they become, as we all should be, the guardians of our country. Through war and peace, through adversity and prosperity, we hold this inauguration every 4 years. And today it falls on Martin Luther King Day. A further reminder that we must strive to uphold the values enshrined in our Constitution, the freedoms, the liberties, and as is inscribed on the entrance of the United States Supreme Court, equal justice under law. But what makes this moment more than a passing ceremony is all who are watching it across the country, the people of this nation, the ordinary people doing extraordinary things. President Kennedy, who at one point worked as a senator in this building and would often walk through this very rotunda, once said, "In a democracy, every citizen, regardless of interest in politics, holds office. Every one of us is..."
We're going to have to cut away right now for a break, but when we come back, we're going to roll with it. Just one thing I do want to point out, there was some debate, and then it was revealed late yesterday, I think, that former Vice President Pence is in attendance. He's back there sitting in the back on the right as you're looking at the screen. Wasn't really sure if he was going to show up or not, but he did. When we come back, we get into the inauguration full swing in the LMOL studios on Middays. We do that next. Keep it here.
Back there and try not to fall. My heart's out of the running. Two love scratch for another sake. The race is on and it looks like heartaches. And the winner loses all. The winner loses all.
window.
You're listening to Middays with Gerard here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back. Just in time, we're about to get down to business at the 60th presidential inauguration inside the Capitol Rotunda in Washington. I was just talking before we go to the audio again. They're in the prayer right now, and I don't want to jump in halfway through that. Apparently, and I saw the video, several people got booed as they were introduced and brought into the chambers, including former President Clinton and his wife Hillary. Just thought that was interesting and wanted to share that. Once we are done with this, we will move on. It's an important part. Notice Trump standing there with his eyes down, paying attention, paying respect, and President Biden just kind of standing there. Well, I'm just observing, Rhino. That's all you can do, right?
Just calling balls and strikes.
Yep, that's all you can do in this particular situation, and it's not overly surprising, I don't think. Really, when you look at things, that's not a surprising look. He's just kind of staring off. What is he going to do with his time now? He hasn't done anything but this for 50 years, so I'm not really sure. Now, up next, I believe, on the order of the day, we will have the swearing-in of J.D. Vance as vice president. The vice president gets sworn in first, then the president, because in terms of a concert, the vice president is kind of the opening act. He goes on first, and then the main event happens with the swearing in of the president. As I said, last time this happened, it took about an hour with President Trump back in 2017. He is apparently going to make an inaugural address from right there in the rotunda after the swearing-in is done. There will be more to come later at the Capital One Arena. And we will, by then, we're going to be off the air, you and I. We're not going to be able to cover anything from the Capital One Arena. But we will stick with this, and we will follow through with the entire inauguration of President Trump. Let's go ahead right now and go to the audio, Rhino, and let's see what we've got here.
This should be a musical piece.
Mr. President, the last 4 years, there are times I'm sure you thought it was pretty dark. But look what God has done. We praise Him and give Him glory. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, Thou hast said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. As the prophet Daniel prayed, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are His. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings. He raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Our Father, today, as President Donald J. Trump takes the oath of office once again, we come to say thank you, O Lord our God. Father, when Donald Trump's enemies thought he was down and out, you and you alone saved his life and raised him up with strength and power by your mighty hand. We pray for President Trump that you'll watch over, protect, guide, direct him. Give him your wisdom from your throne on high. We ask that you would bless him and that our nation would be blessed through him. We also ask that you would bless and protect Melania as First Lady. We thank you for the beauty, the warmth, and grace that she shows not only to this nation, but to the whole world. We thank you for Vice President-elect J.D. Vance and his wife Usha and their young family. May he be a strength to President Trump, to stand beside him, to hold up his arms like Aaron held up the arms of Moses in the midst of battle. The prophet Samuel reminded the people, it was you that brought them up from the land of Egypt. And he said, now stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord. So, Father, we take this moment to stand still, to remember the great things that you have done for this nation. Thank you for the protection, the bounty, the freedoms that we so enjoy. We remember to keep our eyes fixed on you, and may our hearts be inclined to your voice. We know that America can never be great again if we turn our backs on you. We ask for your help, and we pray all of this in the name of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, your Son, my Savior, and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Associate Justice Kavanaugh to administer the Vice Presidential Oath of Office.
That, of course, was the Reverend Franklin Graham. And now Justice Kavanaugh will administer the oath to Senator J.D. Vance, who is about to become Vice President J.D. Vance.
We will have to pause for about 10 seconds for station ID coming up, but hopefully it won't conflate with the timing.
Well, unfortunately, not much we can do about that. If that doesn't get you, you're not paying attention. Just going to be honest. And now I believe we should go after that. That's a tough act to follow, but I think we've got exactly the man that can do it, because I believe now we'll move on to the inaugural address from that gentleman on the screen right there, President Donald Trump. He has now been sworn in. It is official.
It is my honor and pleasure to introduce to you the 45th and the 47th President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump.
Thank you very much, everybody. Well, thank you very, very much. Vice President Vance, Speaker Johnson, Senator Thune, Chief Justice Roberts, Justices of the United States Supreme Court, President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, President Biden, Vice President Harris, and my fellow citizens. The golden age of America begins right now. From this day forward, our country will flourish and be respected again all over the world. We will be the envy of every nation, and we will not allow ourselves to be taken advantage of any longer. During every single day of the Trump administration, I will very simply put America first. Our sovereignty will be reclaimed. Our safety will be restored. The scales of justice will be rebalanced. The vicious, violent, and unfair weaponization of the Justice Department and our government will end. And our top priority will be to create a nation that is proud, prosperous, and free. America will soon be greater, stronger, and far more exceptional than ever before. I return to the presidency confident and optimistic that we are at the start of a thrilling new era of national success. A tide of change is sweeping the country, sunlight is pouring over the entire world, and America has the chance to seize this opportunity like never before. But first, we must be honest about the challenges we face. While they are plentiful, they will be annihilated by this great momentum that the world is now witnessing in the United States of America. As we gather today, our government confronts a crisis of trust. For many years, a radical and corrupt establishment has extracted power and wealth from our citizens while the pillars of our society lay broken and seemingly in complete disrepair. We now have a government that cannot manage even a simple crisis at home, while at the same time stumbling into a continuing catalog of catastrophic events abroad. It fails to protect our magnificent, law-abiding American citizens, but provide sanctuary and protection for dangerous criminals, many from prisons and mental institutions that have illegally entered our country from all over the world. We have a government that has given unlimited funding to the defense of foreign borders, but refuses to defend American borders or, more importantly, its own people. Our country can no longer deliver basic services in times of emergency, as recently shown by the wonderful people of North Carolina, been treated so badly. And other states who are still suffering from a hurricane that took place many months ago. Or more recently, Los Angeles, where we are watching fires still tragically burn. From weeks ago, without even a token of defense, they're raging through the houses and communities, even affecting some of the wealthiest and most powerful individuals in our country, some of whom are sitting here right now. They don't have a home any longer. That's interesting. But we can't let this happen. Everyone is unable to do anything about it. That's going to change. We have a public health system that does not deliver in times of disaster, yet more money is spent on it than any country anywhere in the world. And we have an education system that teaches our children to be ashamed of themselves in many cases, to hate our country despite the love that we try so desperately to provide to them. All of this will change starting today, and it will change very quickly. My recent election is a mandate to completely and totally reverse a horrible betrayal and all of these many betrayals that have taken place, and to give the people back their faith, their wealth, their democracy, and indeed their freedom. From this moment on, America's decline is over. Our liberties and our nation's glorious destiny will no longer be denied, and we will immediately restore the integrity, competency, and loyalty of America's government. Over the past 8 years, I have been tested and challenged more than any president in our 250-year history, and I've learned a lot along the way. The journey to reclaim our republic has not been an easy one, that I can tell you. Those who wish to stop our cause have tried to take my freedom and indeed to take my life. Just a few months ago, in a beautiful Pennsylvania field, an assassin's bullet ripped through my ear. But I felt then, and believe even more so now, that my life was saved for a reason. I was saved by God to make America great again. That is why each day under our administration of American patriots, we will be working to meet every crisis with dignity and power and strength. We will move with purpose and speed to bring back hope, prosperity, safety, and peace for citizens of every race, religion, color, and creed. For American citizens, January 20th, 2025 is Liberation Day. All illegal entry will immediately be halted, and we will begin the process of returning millions and millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came. We will reinstate my Remain in Mexico policy. I will end the practice of catch and release. And I will send troops to the southern border to repel the disastrous invasion of our country. Under the orders I signed today, we will also be designating the cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. By invoking the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, I will direct our government to use the full and immense power of federal and state law enforcement to eliminate the presence of all foreign gangs and criminal networks, bringing devastating crime to U.S. soil, including our cities and inner cities. As Commander-in-Chief, I have no higher responsibility than to defend our country from threats and invasions, and that is exactly what I am going to do. We will do it at a level that nobody's ever seen before. Next, I will direct all members of my cabinet to marshal the vast powers at their disposal to defeat what was record inflation and rapidly bring down costs and prices. The inflation crisis was caused by massive overspending and escalating energy prices, and that is why today I will also declare a national energy emergency. We will drill, baby, drill. America will be a manufacturing nation once again, and we have something that no other manufacturing nation will ever have, the largest amount of oil and gas of any country on earth, and we are going to use it. Let me use it. We will bring prices down, fill our strategic reserves up again, right to the top, and export American energy all over the world. We will be a rich nation again, and it is that liquid gold under our feet that will help to do it. With my actions today, we will end the Green New Deal, and we will revoke the electric vehicle mandate, saving our auto industry and keeping my sacred pledge to our great American auto workers. In other words, you'll be able to buy the car of your choice. We will build automobiles in America again at a rate that nobody could have dreamt possible just a few years ago. And thank you to the auto workers of our nation for your inspiring vote of confidence. We did tremendously with their vote. I will immediately begin the overhaul of our trade system to protect American workers and families. Instead of taxing our citizens to enrich other countries, we will tariff and tax foreign countries to enrich our citizens. For this purpose, we are establishing the External Revenue Service to collect all tariffs, duties, and revenues. It will be massive amounts of money pouring into our treasury, coming from foreign sources. The American dream will soon be back and thriving like never before. To restore competence and effectiveness to our federal government, my administration will establish the brand new Department of Government Efficiency. After years and years of illegal and unconstitutional federal efforts to restrict free expression, I will also sign an executive order to immediately stop all government censorship and bring back free speech to America. Never again will the immense power of the state be weaponized to persecute political opponents. Something I know something about. We will not allow that to happen. It will not happen again. Under my leadership, we will restore fair, equal, and impartial justice under the constitutional rule of law. And we are going to bring law and order back to our cities. This week, I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based. As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female. This week, I will reinstate any service members who were unjustly expelled from our military for objecting to the COVID vaccine mandate with full back pay. And I will sign an order to stop our warriors from being subjected to radical political theories and social experiments while on duty. It's going to end immediately. Our armed forces will be freed to focus on their sole mission, defeating America's enemies.
Just to let you know, we do have a break coming up, so...
Like in 2017, we will again build the strongest military the world has ever seen. We will measure our success not only by the battles we win, but also by the wars that we end, and perhaps most importantly, the wars we never get into. My proudest legacy will be that of a peacemaker and unifier. That's what I want to be, a peacemaker and a unifier. I'm pleased to say that as of yesterday, one day before I assumed office, the hostages in the Middle East are coming back home to their families. America will reclaim its rightful place as the greatest, most powerful, most respected nation on earth, inspiring the awe and admiration of the entire world. A short time from now, we are going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, and we will restore the name of a great president, William McKinley, to Mount McKinley, where it should be and where it belongs.
With Gerard Gibbert.
It is awesome.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's go back and catch the final few moments of President Trump's inaugural address from the Capitol Rotunda.
Thank you. In recent years, our nation has suffered greatly, but we are going to bring it back and make it great again, greater than ever before. We will be a nation like no other, full of compassion, courage, and exceptionalism. Our power will stop all wars and bring a new spirit of unity to a world that has been angry, violent, and totally unpredictable. America will be respected again and admired again, including by people of religion, faith, and goodwill. We will be prosperous. We will be proud. We will be strong, and we will win like never before. We will not be conquered. We will not be intimidated. We will not be broken, and we will not fail. From this day on, the United States of America will be a free, sovereign, and independent nation. We will stand bravely. We will live proudly. We will dream boldly, and nothing will stand in our way because we are Americans. The future is ours, and our golden age has just begun. Thank you. God bless America. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
A very good speech. And the one thing that kept jumping in my head as I listened to that and watched that was extremely presidential. There were a couple of moments of Donald Trump being Donald Trump, which you would expect. That's what we wanted. That's what everybody voted for. But the majority of it, extremely presidential. Now, you're going to have some people who are going to try to explain that, No, it wasn't at all. In my opinion, they will be wrong, plain and simple. One that I didn't see coming, Rhino, was him mentioning that we are going to officially go back to Mount McKinley. It's been called Denali since, what, I think the 70s? It came up in the 70s. That they were going to change the name. And then we wound up now at a point where out of nowhere, well, while he was talking about renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, he also mentioned renaming Mount McKinley again, instead of Denali, which it has been called for quite a while. I think that was the 70s, wasn't it, Rhino?
That's when it first started. I believe the request dating back to 1975 from the Alaskan State Legislature was blocked. I believe that was blocked by, I had it here somewhere. It was somebody who's, they represented the hometown of McKinley, so they were able to block it. And then it didn't get brought back up again with any real vigor until the Barack Obama administration, when just ahead of his visit to Alaska, he announced that they would be changing the name.
So,
it's been recently. It was, what, 10 years ago when they changed the name. So changing it back, you wouldn't think that would be too big of a lift.
You wouldn't think so, but it kind of surprised me because that's one that I had not really heard anything about leading up to this. So he did have a couple of surprises in there. Speaking of surprises, you want to share with everybody what Joe Biden literally dropped on the desk as he was walking out the door of the White House this morning?
Oh, yeah. It was his last official act as President of the United States. He issued, "To all whom these presents shall come greeting, be it known that this day I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of these United States, pursuant to my powers under Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution, have granted unto James B. Biden, Sarah Jones Biden, Valerie Biden Owens, John T. Owens, and Francis W. Biden a full and unconditional pardon for any nonviolent offenses against the United States which they may have committed or taken part in during the period from January 1, 2014 through the date of this pardon.
Why does 2014 keep coming up?
Because that's when Obama took over.
Well, that's a very good point. The pardon for Fauci dates back to January 1st, 2014. It's very interesting that he's pardoning everybody all the way back to when Barack Obama took office. That kind of tends to indicate there may be some more fire beneath all the smoke that we've seen for a while. At least to me, I have a suspicious nature. The good news is that is the last time Joe Biden will have the opportunity to do that. And, you know, none of those names have really been the focus of much of anything in terms of investigations or the like, with the exception of his brother, James, who was involved in the entire kerfluffle in Ukraine with the gas company. But just find an intro. I would just pardon everybody on the way out the door. That's fine. Literally on the way out the door, he dropped that. Basically, as the inauguration was starting, didn't he?
Yeah, the event had already begun. People had already taken their seats, and that was released.
Would we expect any differently?
Depends.
I'm personally just surprised there weren't more names on the list. I'm really a little bit shocked by that.
Well, that is another ironic thing is... what's her name? Vindman, the wife of the whistleblower.
Yes.
She's been on social media all morning complaining about how betrayed she feels by the administration because they weren't offered pardons.
Why? What'd you do? That's my first reaction to that. I mean, I know what the investigations have entailed and the accusations and everything, but if you are publicly upset that you weren't offered a pardon, what did you do? That's the initial knee-jerk reaction. Keep in mind, with his family, just as everybody else, if they, according to the Burdick decision for the Supreme Court in 1915, if they accept the pardons, they are admitting guilt. Just throwing that little legal detail out there. They're saying, yeah, I did it. Thank you. Appreciate that. And then moving on. So, yeah, that's, to me, honestly, not that surprising of a move by President Biden. I figured he would have a few more in him before he left. I mean, it's, you know, you got 50-50 odds. He even knows he did that. He might not be aware. Because that has kind of been the way things have operated during this entire administration, as has become apparent. He hasn't known what he was doing the whole time. The good news is, though, it is now officially over. It's done. In the next 15 to 20 minutes, from what we have been told, President Trump will start signing executive orders. And let me say, let's talk about that speech for just a minute. I don't remember ever a presidential inauguration where the newly sworn in president talked about how many things he was doing that day. I don't think I've ever heard anything like that. It's usually glittering generalities on the day of the swearing in. Not today. You saw it and heard it for yourself. All of the various things that he listed, all of the things that, about doing away with DEI, with there now being two genders by, for the purposes of the federal government. Two genders. That's it. That's all we got. I don't think that everyone realizes, there's been somewhat of an understanding, but I don't think anyone realizes just how massive of a sea change we're about to see in the United States. We are basically turning everything upside down to what it's been for the last 4 years, and going back in what is, my opinion, a much better direction. There's going to be some culture shock. This is the definition of shock and awe that you're about to see unfold. You think you have heard wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, it's about to kick in. You have no idea. This week alone is going to be ridiculous. And then it's just going to continue from there. But with, feel very confident in saying, a much better result. We have one more segment of Middays in the Element Well Studios. A couple of other observations about the speech. We'll get to those next on Super Talk Mississippi.
Middays with Gerard Gibbert.
Keep rolling. 3, 2, 1.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
What a day, what a day. Welcome back to the Element Well Studios. The final segment of Middays on a Monday. And I want to tell you, that was a humdinger of a speech. It's interesting still to me, the whole pardons going back to January 1st, 2014, because that's when the whole Burisma thing started under the Obama administration in Ukraine. That's when supposedly the gain-of-function research under Dr. Fauci began. He just basically tried to cover everything.
It was the first time pardons. In Obama's presidency that he didn't have control of the Congress. And you remember, January 2014 is famous. I have a pen and a phone.
Yep. And now President Biden has granted everybody a pardon for all of that. The whole everything, just in general, blanket pardons left and right. I still am waiting to see if some of those are going to be challenged. During the speech, the inauguration speech, I thought it was interesting when President Trump got several times during the speech a standing ovation, sometimes just in the Capitol Rotunda, sometimes because they had it on split screen, as you saw, got a standing ovation both there and at the Capitol One Arena. One of the times that he got a joint standing ovation in the Capitol Rotunda and at the Capitol One Arena, and it was a full standing ovation in the Rotunda with Democrats standing up to join in, was when he announced he was declaring a national emergency at the border. I thought that was interesting because some of the times the Democratic elected officials in the room would sit there and they would applaud, but they wouldn't join in the standing ovation. They joined in on that one. I thought that was interesting, and I think that was a very low-key tacit admission that we have a problem. We still have a problem, even though the border crossings have dropped. There's an issue. And I think even they realize it, and they admitted it. To do that. I am interested to see, and we haven't gotten full details, and it would be almost impossible to get full details until we see it play out, his mention of bringing down costs and prices. That's a complicated thing, and that's not something, you're not going to go to the grocery store tomorrow and get a loaf of bread for a nickel. It doesn't work that way. This is going to take time to unroll, time to go into effect, and time to get all the pieces in place. So,
depends on how thick the tinfoil you want to put on as to how deep down that rabbit hole you could go, because I'm fairly certain some people out there took that to mean, end the Fed!
Oh, yeah, that's a big discussion going on. End the Fed. I have heard some people and seen some people, I'm sure you have too, talking about doing away with the IRS, no less. There's, again, depending on how many layers of tinfoil you want to put on. There's a lot of stuff floating around out there. Everybody thinks this is a panacea moment where it's going to cure all ills and everything will be different. I don't, personally, Rhino, I don't know about you. I don't think it's going to go to quite the extent of fruit basket turnover. Everything is different. Everything's gone, and we're doing that. I don't think it's going to get to quite that level, but it's going to feel like it to a lot of folks, I think.
What, you don't think the mainstream media is going to go from, oh, look at Grandpa Joe. He loves his family so much, to fire and brimstone over anything Trump says?
Right. Exactly. Trump could come out and give an official statement and issue a presidential proclamation in support of cute puppies, and they would immediately destroy him. President Trump dislikes cats would be the headline.
Completely ignores iguanas.
What about the hamsters? Why is President Trump forgetting these beautiful creatures? You know, that's exactly what we're going to get, and you know it. It doesn't matter what he does. It's going to be wrong.
Same Democrats that were applauding the emergency declaration for the border will be on TV gnashing teeth the second they start deporting criminal, illegal aliens.
Well, we know that from the vote in the House on Nancy Mace's bill. What was it, 159 Democrats voted against the bill that would require criminals that are here illegally to be deported? 159 people said it was picking on them. Just absolutely mind-blowing. Well, it is a brand new day. It is a fantastic 4 years laid in front of us. It's not going to be without struggles and challenges. No such thing. But do you feel like you can breathe again? I do. Just calling it like it is. We've got news from Fox News. I wonder what they'll be talking about. And Super Talk Mississippi News on the way next, and Rhino and I will join you again tomorrow morning at 10:06 for middays in the Element Well Studios. Happy day, my friend. I'll see you then.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.